Now have our sermon, and we're going to be focusing on the gospel reading. So if you want to have that open, please feel free. As we reflect on these words from John's gospel, Lord, will you open our hearts and minds now to understand it and to apply it in our lives? In Jesus' name, amen. So today we see Jesus talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus visits Jesus at night time, which is unusual. Why is he visiting at nighttime? Well, possibly because he didn't want any of his Jewish council colleagues to know that he was talking to Jesus. He says to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a good teacher that comes from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God was not with him." Now, he doesn't ask a question, yet Jesus seems to answer a question. "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Where did that come from? Well, Jesus knew that Nicodemus was a religious person. Not only that, but in verse 10, we see that he was a teacher. He was a Jew, and the Jews thought that because they were born a Jew, they would have God's favor. But Jesus says, no, that's not enough. Jesus says, you need to be born again. "How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus responds. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb." Jesus then clarifies, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases, but you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from. Where it is going, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "What?" says Nicodemus. At which point, Jesus loses his rag. "You are Israel's teacher. Don't you understand these things?" Jesus is saying, "I'm not talking about a physical rebirth. Of course you can't enter your mother's womb again. No, I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth." He talks about the need to be born of water and of the Spirit. John the Baptist had been baptizing people in water. And John's baptism was one of repentance, turning away from sin. But Jesus says, you need to turn from your sins and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus then takes Nicodemus back in Israel's history to Numbers 21, where everyone was getting bitten by snakes. And they were dying because they had basically been disobeying God. But God wanted to give them a lifeline. So he basically said that if anyone looks at this kind of snake that Moses had lifted up, they wouldn't die. And Jesus says, in the same way, for people today to receive eternal life, he would need to be lifted up on a cross for them to die. If they believed in him, they would get life, not death. Now, for some strange reason, the BCP lectionary doesn't include verse 16. Possibly one of the most famous verses in the whole Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God's not some big angry meanie wanting to spoil everybody's fun. He's our creator. He gives us life. He loves us, and when he created the world, he said it was good. And when he said created humans, he said it was very good. And he doesn't want anybody to die because he loves us. But we're also sinful. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We have a just God, and sin deserves punishment. He's a holy God, and sin and holiness cannot mix. That's why we need Jesus to take away the sin from us and make us holy. And that's why Jesus had to die, to repair that bridge that was broken because of the sins that separate us from God. And people try and do many things to try and bridge that chasm. Good works, religion, philosophy, yet none of them can bridge the gap between us and God because only the cross has the power to defeat sin. The cross acts as a bridge between us and God, and when Jesus died on the cross, he took all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our rubbish. We're saved by grace alone. We're saved because God has given us life that we don't deserve. Jesus means salvation, and he has saved us. So we've got some good news to tell other people. The people that we know are all at different stages in their lives. Some will be open to hearing about Jesus and some won't. Some will be skeptics. Some people will think that church, Jesus, Christianity is not relevant to them. You mention God and they either walk away or they change the subject or they try and crack a joke. Or maybe they make fun of you. And my suggestion with people like this is not to force the subject. Keep praying for more opportunities. Pray God's blessing on them. Maybe offer prayer if they're in need. And if they need help, maybe if they're in debt, refer them to CAP. Maybe invite them to a church social event, but probably not to a service because they probably wouldn't be interested. Some people are skeptics and we need to respect them and try not to bash them overhead with a Bible or ram things down their throats. But eventually they may start asking questions and they may become inquirers. And this is where Nicodemus is here in John chapter 3. He's someone who's open to talking about God. He asks questions about faith. You might have people that have asked you about your faith or about church. And one way to respond to someone who's in that place is to maybe invite them to a church service or a course that we're running that might help them to ask more questions and explore faith further. One of the reasons we set up the 5 o'clock service here at St. Paul's was really to do that, to engage with people who don't normally come to church and create a space for them to engage. And it's quite an interactive service. I know some of you have been along to it. Do feel free to invite people to that service or indeed here if you think this might be their cup of tea. And obviously, I know some of you as well bring grandchildren along to Messy Church, and you may know other children, families who might really appreciate Messy Church. And again, that's something we set up to try and engage people who don't go to church at the moment. An inquirer as well might want to just find out a bit more just by reading the Bible. So, you know, give them a Bible. We've got Bibles to give away at the back. They're the kind of slightly thinner ones, which you can give away to anybody who wants, and they're free. And other resources as well at the back that might be helpful, like Why Jesus. One way you might want to respond is to talk about God's story. You could even use this passage here in John chapter 3. Point them to the need to be born again. Or maybe you could share your story. Sometimes we call this a testimony. And a testimony is something, you know, quite short, 100 words or so, before and after kind of change in faith story. What difference that Jesus has made in your life. People like to hear stories. They like to hear what Jesus has done in our lives. They can't argue against that. Often people like to have arguments, but actually people like to know our stories and what difference Jesus makes. Give them a taste that will leave them hungry for more, wanting to ask more questions. So we've seen that Nicodemus was an inquirer in John chapter 3. But if you fast forward a little bit further to John chapter 7, Nicodemus seems to have moved on a little bit in his journey. Because when he's speaking about Jesus to the Pharisees, he says these words: "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's doing?" Here, Nicodemus seems to be a supporter. He's pro-Jesus. He sticks up for Jesus. And people that we know might be supporters as well. They might not actually come to church, but they're kind of supportive of church or of God or Jesus. They might have had some background themselves because of their family. They might have been to the odd service, but they don't come regularly. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, it says, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So wherever anybody's at in their stage journey, but particularly if someone's a supporter, important to pray for them that they might make that step of faith to know Jesus, but also for opportunities to talk to them as well. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts and brings people to repentance and faith in Jesus. Again, we can invite them to service or a course. But also, we might want to encourage them just to volunteer. And it might seem an odd thing to do, but actually, sometimes people need to belong before they believe. There's an example of somebody who has been volunteering at our cafe. She just came to the cafe one day, saw that we were really busy and needed help, and said, "Can I volunteer?" And after we'd done our application process, we said, "Yes, please." And she's been volunteering every week for the last few months. And she's just started coming along to the 5 o'clock service. She's probably our most committed member of our 5 o'clock service. And she's asking lots of questions, and she seems to be, going further in her faith journey and getting closer to God. So there are lots of things, opportunities like cafe or getting involved in Milk with Kick or any of the things that we have going on in the parish, flower arranging, whatever it might be. It might be a great thing to invite others to join in and be part of. Obviously, again, you can give them a Bible to read if they don't have one. Share your story. And we want to help that the supporters move from being a supporter to being a new disciple, to having that faith in Jesus. So we've seen today that we do have something to say. We have good news to share. We have a part to play in bringing people to know Jesus. We've got the best news in the world. We've experienced that good news for ourselves, and so we want to share that with others. Stories are powerful. We can share our story, we can share God's story. One final thing to remember. In verse 6, it says, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit." In all of our evangelistic efforts, it's only going to be fruitful if the Holy Spirit is involved. Only the Holy Spirit will convict somebody of sin and enable them to turn to Christ. So we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to work in the lives of our friends and our families, that they might come to know Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit will fill us with his power to be his witnesses. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, will you fill us afresh? Enable us to share the good news of Jesus. Help us to tell your story and our story. Give us courage to invite people along where it's appropriate, to different activities going on in the church, or just to have a simple conversation with them, or to pray for them and with them. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will move in their lives, that you'll be stirring them to that place of repentance and faith, a new life in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.